Good morning. It's great to be with you all this morning, and it's great to be here in at least three senses, like in this room, because when I grew up here, this room wasn't here. I remember when, I don't know where we are, but like the scout hut was in the back corner of the lot, and there was a big parking lot between here and there, and then they moved the scout hut, I think, kind of over closer to here, and when I was in high school, I was in a world-famous band named Jack Chiprock. I'm sure you've heard of it. And we used to practice in the room over there. But it's wonderful to be back to St. Martin's Church. And I preached in the main church a couple times this morning. And I was baptized and confirmed and married. My wife Shannon and I were married in the old church. And so it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me. It's great. My parents are here. We've got some friends. New and old, who've come to be with us here this morning. So wonderful, wonderful to be with you, and especially on St. Martin's Day. St. Martin it's St. Martin's Day, right? Right. So you woke up early and you gave yourself each other presents and stuff like for St. No, you didn't do that. You didn't. So St. Martin of Tours is such a great choice for the patron saint of this church, and I'm grateful to Russ for inviting me to come. And preach to you on St. Martin's Day and to celebrate your patron saint. Martin is really amazing to think about for a couple of important reasons. First of all, he's just, I'm going to try to show you, is an incredible example of Christian witness and especially of what it means to be a Christian leader. Right? So I want to talk with you a bit this morning about Christian leadership and witness. But the second reason has to do with the times that he lived in. Martin was born early in the 4th century, right? Just before Constantine became emperor. And you probably know that Constantine was the first or maybe the second Roman emperor who was a Christian, although he didn't always act like a Christian. He wasn't like an exemplary. But anyway, so over the course of Martin's life, society, Roman society, underwent a number of noticeable changes that I'm going to talk about a little later, changes that are the direct and sole result of Christian witness and of the influence of Christianity in Roman society. So we've got a great example, but in a time that was in need of reform and of examples like that, but also of help, just as much as our own is. Martin was born in a little village in what is today is in Hungary, so in Eastern Europe. But he really grew up kind of north of Milan, Italy, near the Alps, between Milan and the Alps. And then he finally found his way over into France, where he later became Bishop of Tours in Bordeaux and kind of western central France. But one of the things that makes Martin so amazing is that he came from such meager means, right? His parents were relatively poor, and he went on to become one of the great leaders in his society by the time he died. Martin's father was a soldier, and so, like father, like son, he was expected to follow in his father's trade. And his parents were also not Christians, they were pagans, right? So Martin grew up in a pagan home. The age of 15, he was expected to join the Roman army, and so he did. And Martin served in the army for many years, maybe 20 years. It was kind of an expected enlistment and tour. He served in what's really the Imperial Guard, right? He wasn't a front-line infantryman, may have never even fought in a battle, but he was part of the Imperial Guard, was eventually stationed in what is today kind of northern France and in southwestern Germany, near Trier. He was well regarded by his comrades, right? He had the respect of his peers. And that's important to remember as I go on to tell you Martin's story. I want to use Martin as example today to think about what does it mean to witness for Christ in our time? And what does it mean to show traits of Christian leadership? I say it's important to remember that he was respected by his peers because while he had their respect, his heart was grounded in a very different set of values than that of where he came from and of Roman society at large. Think with me for a minute about what makes for a true leader, right, and a great witness for Christ. One of the things that stands out the most from Martin's life, firstly, is his courage. He was a man of incredible courage. He could look fear in the face and pass right through it. When he decided that he wanted to request an honorable discharge from the army, he waited until none other than the emperor himself, Emperor Julian at the time, had arrived in this area, sort of northern France, German area, for a battle that was to take place. The night before a battle in the Roman army, soldiers would be paid a little bonus, a little extra money the night before you fight to give you some motivation and encouragement. So that night, he's already made up his mind. And Martin says, no, I can't take this money. It wouldn't be fair for me to take this money. Others are going to fight and deserve to receive the bonus, not for me. And he tells the emperor that he would like to leave the army. He served many years honorably, but he wants to devote his life more fully to Christ, maybe join a house of prayer, special devotional life. Well, the emperor's name was Julian, as I said, but you may have heard of him by another name, and that is Julian the Apostate. Emperor Julian, this is in the early 360s, hated Christians, right? Served as Caesar before he was emperor. He hated Christianity. He sought to root out the faith wherever he could. So Martin tells Julian what he wants to do, and Julian's enraged. He's furious, and he thinks, you're just making this up. You just don't want to fight. He basically accuses him of cowardice. You're a coward. Martin stands firm, and he looks him in the eye and says, all right. These are the words, and Martin's biographer tells us this. Martin said to Julian, I will stand unarmed in front of our forces on the battle line tomorrow. I will walk unscathed through the enemy's lines with nothing to defend me but the cross of Jesus Christ, with no more helmet and no more shield that I've carried all these years. That was his courage. He wasn't afraid. He wanted to devote his life solely to Christ, and he said, I'm just going to take his name, and that's it. Well, Julian thinks he's bluffing, right? So he calls what he thinks is a bluff, and he says, fine. They throw him in the garrison jail for the night. But God had other plans for Martin. The first of many miracles in Martin's life occurs. Early the next morning, an envoy arrives from the invading force to sue for peace, and they surrender everything they have. They just lay it all down. So Martin gets his discharge, and he walks away. Another time, many years later, when he's serving as the bishop of the local church, like the senior pastor in that day, like a rector, right, of Tours, and Martin was trying to plant new churches in the surrounding countryside, and he wanted to remove the pagan worship that was going on at the time, and he usually did this with the consent of the people. Well, one time, there's this one community, and they have this totem that they worship, and it's actually a tree that's still planted in the ground, right? They have this large tree that's their sort of cultic object. And they say, fine, we'll cut it down ourselves if you'll stand in the path of it. Martin says, fine, I'll stand in the path of it. So he stands there, and they even tie him down. And as the tree is coming down towards Martin, all of Martin's friends are worried and nervous. Martin just makes the sign of the cross at the tree, and it falls to the side of him. The point isn't whether that tree could have hit Martin. It might have been able to hit him. But the point is that he wasn't afraid because his faith and his confidence in the Lord was so great. So Martin was a really courageous man, and one of the things that he shows us is to accomplish any... You can study other leaders in, you know, business law, what it makes to be a good parent in your home, to be a leader in your home, to be a leader at school with your peers. What does it take? One of the things that it takes is courage. It takes confidence and courage, because to accomplish anything lasting, you're going to meet resistance, right? If it's something that you want to accomplish that the world really needs, of course there's going to be resistance, because if you weren't going to do it, it would already be there, right? But in order to do it, you're going to fill a gap, or you're going to make somebody mad, or you're going to look stupid, or you're going to look foolish. To accomplish anything lasting and worthwhile takes real courage, and Martin embodied that. It's a great model for us. But secondly, Martin wasn't just out there to be a tough guy. In fact, he wasn't a tough guy. He was a very humble guy. But Martin wasn't in it just for the thrill of the conflict or the chase or whatever it is. Martin was in it to help other people. He cared about the world around him, and especially where there were needs. This started when he was in the army. It started actually when he was a child, and then the army, and then when he becomes a Christian pastor. When he was Bishop of Tours, Martin was constantly going out. So I'm thinking, like, you know, leadership, we can think internally, character, right? But right now I want to think with you about outside these walls. What is outside these walls, and what's also inside these walls in our homes and our hearts? There's enormous need. Martin was constantly going out to places where the gospel was unknown, or there were sick or suffering people, and he made that his focus. There are many tales of healings that occurred through Martin's hands and voice, people that God healed, such as a 12-year-old girl who had been born mute, couldn't speak. Her father brought her to Martin, pled with him, said, "Will you please pray for my daughter? Will you pray for her to be healed?" And Martin said, "Of course I will." So he took some of the oil from the church, he anointed her tongue, prayed for her, said, "Speak, child, what is the name of your father?" And she speaks her dad's name for the first time ever in front of Martin. He had never heard his daughter say his name. That's the kind of heart that Martin had for all of the people around him, not just people in his church, but anyone that he came in contact with. He also taught. He was a little infamous in his community because he taught true Christian forgiveness, which is radical forgiveness, right? The Gospels are full of, over and over, Jesus is driving this home to us. You got to forgive, or you know your forgiveness is going to be in jeopardy, right? The wicked servant and all that kind of stuff. So Martin one day pronounced forgiveness, offered Christ forgiveness to a particularly notorious criminal in his community who had come to Martin, to the church, and repented, and was sorry, and sought Christ's forgiveness. And Martin pronounced this man forgiven. So that night, when he was praying, the devil comes to Martin in a vision, saddles up next to him, and says, "You really sure about that? Do you know who that is that you just forgave? This is not a good idea. That man doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Do you know what he's done?" Martin says, "Yeah, I know what he's done. Right? He told me what he's done, and I knew it already. But because of what Christ has done on the cross, he does deserve to be forgiven if he wants to be." And then he looks the devil in the eye. Let's try this. Don't try this. Well, do try this at home if you have to. But he looks the devil in the eye and says, "And sir, if you would repent from the wrath that you inflict on God's people, even you could be forgiven. No one is outside of the reach of Christ's forgiveness." And he became famous or infamous for this, depending on who you asked. Martin shows us that a true leader is not in it for themselves. They're in it for the people that they want to serve. And isn't that true? We're not talking about just church here. In a business, in a law firm, in government, in school, who are the people that you admire, right, that inspire you, that make you want to do great things, people that you want your kids to imitate? They're people that just reflect that spirit of service, but it's not just service. It's just really being focused on where the need is and on the other. And that kind of a leader just radiates, "It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me." And Martin was that kind of a leader. I mentioned that there were a lot of changes in society at this time, and I want to tell you about a few of them. As a result of Christian influence in Roman society, they certainly didn't make it perfect, but it's important to see that changes did happen. Because of the influence of Christians in the empire, public violence decreased. The Roman Empire was ruled by the sword, and blood ran in the streets of every city. That's how justice was enforced and people were, you know, kept in line through fear. Public violence decreased because of the Christians. Pagan sacrifice decreased, of course, as you probably already know. Laws, new laws were passed for the whole empire to increase the rights of prisoners, rights that they didn't have before the Christians made their influence felt. New relief for the poor took place. Emperor Julian, back to him, he was so mad at one of the things that made Julian the maddest was that the Christians were so good at taking care of the poor and the needy in their midst. And that's one of the reasons why the church grew miraculously. It wasn't just preaching on the streets. So as communities became known, churches became known as communities where widows and orphans and the destitute and other people that people looked down on would be taken care of and would be treated like human beings. The Christians were so good at that that Emperor Julian got mad again. He was mad a lot. You know, he was one of those guys. He's always mad. And he says, we need to do better. The Roman government needs to do better because the Christians are making us look bad. That's how effective the Christian ministry was at the time. Martin participated in these kinds of activities. When he was in the Imperial Guard, Martin had a servant, like every soldier of his rank did. But instead of treating him like a Roman slave, Martin decided to serve him. Martin would feed and wash his own servant, would wash his feet and mend his shoes and so on. Guess how that went over? You think that was that popular? Right. No, it wasn't. It earned him ridicule. He was ridiculed, but he was still respected. You know what that feels like? You can be ridiculed and respected at the same time. Isn't that interesting? And Martin was. The fourth century was also the time when Christians created the Western institution that we all depend on called the hospital. The Western hospital was the result of Christian initiatives. So Martin was always caring for the sick and the suffering in his community as well. True leadership is about focusing on the other, not me, not the leader themselves. And happiness, true happiness, is living for God and living to help other people. It's the only way to be happy. Right? Try some other way. I mean, we all do try. We all the time. We're trying other ways, but it doesn't work, does it? Martin exemplified that for us. So probably the most famous story about Martin, you've either heard it or seen it. It was a very cold winter, 335, I think, and he's riding on his horse with some others, and he sees a beggar by the road who's shivering. Martin takes out his sword, cuts his cloak in half. It's a pretty valuable item. Cuts it in half and gives it to the beggar. Guess how that went over again? Were people, oh, wow, let's do that too? No. He was ridiculed again because that's not dignified. To serve other people well, you have to be willing to be undignified sometimes. You have to be willing to endure ridicule. So there were bystanders by the road too, and they laughed at him. But he didn't care because he cared more about that man who was cold than he cared about what the naysayers were going to think about him. You see, peer pressure doesn't stop when you leave school. Now, see, we've got some kids in the room, right? It's not going to stop, right? It continues. Martin didn't care about it. Well, Martin was not courageous and caring just because he thought it was a good idea or because it was about him, right? Martin's courage and his care for others were direct reflections of his faith in Jesus Christ. He took strength and courage from what Christ had done for him. And so after he gave that half of his cloak to the cold beggar, that night, in a vision, his biographer tells us, Martin saw Christ in his sleep. Christ was wearing the half of the cape that Martin had given away. And in that vision, Jesus asked him, look closely and recognize the garment that I'm wearing, whose garment that is. And then the Lord says to the angels, Martin is only a catechumen. He hasn't even been baptized yet. Martin is only a catechumen, but he has clothed me with his own garment. He's still in the army now, right? And that's the day when Martin decided, okay, I want to do something a little more extra and enter a more sort of devotional kind of life. And then he later leaves the army. So the third element here is that Martin's doing it all in Christ's name. Everything that he does or says, he does in the name of Jesus Christ, as Paul tells us to do in Colossians. So one day Martin was traveling, this is later. Travel in the ancient world was dangerous. He's traveling and he gets come upon by a group of bandits. And one of the robbers accosts him. They want to kill him, but first they're going to interrogate him. So one of the robbers says to Martin, "Who are you? What's your name?" And Martin says, "The only thing that you need to know about me is that I'm a Christian. That's the only name that matters for me, is the name of Christ." And then he implores the robber. He says, "You know, maybe you'd like to think about turning away from the life that you're leading and try experiencing the life that Christ offers." So the robbers set Martin loose, and that man that had interrogated him turned to the Lord, became a believer, and then later became a model citizen in his community, all because of Martin's word and his courage and his confidence in the Lord. "I got nothing to fear, because I got the name of Jesus with me." Another time Martin was traveling, this time it's near Milan, and a man appears to him on the road and says, "Where are you going?" And Martin says, "I'm going wherever God calls me. I don't know," you know, as if to say, "Yeah, I've got plans, I've got some ideas, but I can't control the future. I don't really know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't believe people who say they do. I'm just trying to go where God calls me. I'm just trying to obey and follow." And then he quotes to the man from Psalm 118, "The Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid, for what can mortals do to me? The Lord is my helper." That's all I can tell you. And then at that moment, the biography tells us the man disappears. And Martin realized this was another apparition from the devil, testing him. "Where are you going?" So Martin shows us that leadership is only empowered by Christ's grace and Christ's mercy. He won countless people over to Christ in his lifetime, before and after he became a church leader. He planted numerous communities, planted churches, religious houses, monasteries, and so on. But the final thing I want to leave you with is kind of come back where we started. Through it all, Martin was not afraid to suffer publicly for the faith and to help others and because of what he believed in. He was not afraid to suffer publicly. You know, there's two kinds of Christians and there's two kinds of leaders. There's those who are, they're just all in it for themselves. You know, like Jesus says in the parable of the sower, you know, the seed gets scattered and some of it's on rocky ground and some of the birds come and take. But only some of it really sinks into that fruitful soil and takes root. And Martin was one of those seeds. The mark of that kind of a seed is the courage and the willingness to suffer, as Jesus said all of his disciples would. Now, there's a little bit of a trick here, right? Because we all know, I mean, don't we, right? When we're thinking about it, when we admit it to ourselves, we're going to suffer no matter what. Life is full of suffering. Would you rather suffer for the name of Jesus, or would you rather suffer for nothing? That's what Martin had figured out. Our time, no less than the 4th century in the Roman Empire, is in desperate need of Christian leaders and Christian witnesses who make a difference in people's lives, right? Who can bring the gospel of God's mercy where it's not, but who show Christ's love wherever they go. And not just to individuals, but in institutions, right? Our world is still very, very broken and in need of true leadership. I join with you all today, myself, taking encouragement from Martin's example for how we live in our families, in our schools, in our institutions, in public civic life, and so on. But I also want to speak to those of you in this room. Sometimes people don't call this out. We've already heard it this morning. For those of you who might have a sense that you're called to leadership in the church, leadership of the church, that's its own kind of leadership also. And if hearing about Martin's story is inspiring to you, and if you have a sense of that call on your heart, I want you to speak to me after the service this morning. Because God is always raising up new leaders for his church, just like he raised up Martin. St. Augustine tells us, good shepherds are made out of good sheep, and far be it that God, Christ the great shepherd, would not be raising up new shepherds for his sheep. Leadership is joyful, it's life-giving, it's costly, and it's a great witness to the love that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. May we all grow in our witness to the Lord and in the leadership, the different ways God's called us to be leaders. So when somebody asks you tomorrow, what are you doing? Where are you going? Now you have a new answer you can give them. I'm going wherever God calls me. I'm just trying to obey. Amen.